Boho, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing us the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Jerome Corsi, his graduate PhD from Harvard University. And, of course, he writes regularly for World Affairs Brief. You can get his articles there. I should say for a WorldNet Daily, and you can get his articles there. He's written several books, which we carry, and, of course, certainly on immigration, on the late great USA, and several other books, which you will find on our website, which we'll talk about later. But we're going to be talking today. Well, Dr. Corsi, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, Dr. Stan, we can talk about a number of different things. I'm very concerned about the Obama health care plan.
All right, why don't we talk about that, because I'm very concerned about it as well.
We can start there. I've got an article in my Red Alert newsletter this week that the unspoken problem about health care is really an immigration problem. When you take a look at the statistics, over the last 20 years, since 1989, the increase among uninsured in health care is largely because of the immigration problem. The immigrants and their U.S.-born children account for 71% of the increase in the uninsured in health care over the last two decades. And that's never mentioned. It's largely a problem of the illegal immigrants. The RAND Corporation did a study. They found that 68% of illegal immigrants have no health insurance. And that's compared with only 17% of native-born citizens. So this is what the Obama administration won't tell the American people, is that we're not dealing really with a brand-new health crisis among American citizens. It's the immigrants. And when you look deeply into the statistics, the immigrants either come to the United States and they expect the government to take care of their health care. They come from socialized countries. Or they can't afford any health insurance, or they just don't believe in it from their cultures. They've never had health insurance in the countries in Central America and South America and Mexico where they come from.
But, of course, they can go to any hospital in this country and go to the emergency room and get free medical care mandated by the government. And, of course, the hospitals aren't paid for it, which drives up the cost for all the rest of us. But you go right ahead.
Well, that's right. They can go into the emergency room and get primary medical care in the emergency rooms. If the emergency rooms don't provide it under federal health laws, and the hospitals can lose their licenses and be sued. So the fact that illegal immigrants don't have health insurance doesn't mean they're not getting health care. And if the Obama administration were honest, the crisis here is not a crisis of average Americans. It's a crisis, by and large, of immigrants and largely illegal immigrants. So once again, we're having packaged up a problem from open borders that's going to require changing trillions of dollars of expense and destroying the best health care system in the world for illegal immigrants.
And so we know where it's going to end up because we can see what's happening in Massachusetts, where Mitt Romney, of course, brought in a socialized system, and now it'll take you a month and a half to get in to see a doctor, and of course, the cost is just all out of bounds. It's only been around for a couple of years, since 2006. But they never tell the American people the disaster that this has led to, and of course, the doctors are fleeing from Massachusetts. They used to have more doctors per capita than any place, and of course now the doctors are simply leaving in disgust. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi as we talk about Obamacare. Do you really want the government to control your health care? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi, who writes a regular column, certainly for News with Views, and if you don't read it, why, you're not keeping abreast of what's going on. He writes the Red Alert. He's written a number of books, several of which we carry. One of them is called, his latest one, is called The Late Great USA. But we're talking about Obamacare and why this health care system is going to be a disaster. And Dr. Corsi is simply pointing out that when they talk about all these 46 million people who don't have any health care, the truth of the matter is that a significant part of these are illegal immigrants, of course, who have for their own decision have decided not to get health care. But they're not going to tell the American people that, well, of course, there's some 67% of the illegal or the immigrants don't have any health insurance. There's only about 17% of people who have employment here in the United States who don't have health insurance. So you pick up the story there.
Well, and Dr. Stan, I want to continue on the theme because I've been writing a Red Alert about Mexico. You know, the problem is these open borders, not just with health care. In my Red Alert newsletter, and you can see it at redalert.wnd.com, WND for WorldNet Daily, redalert.wnd.com. I also have another article about Mexico and drugs. With the swine flu scare, most people don't realize that kind of under the cover of that, Mexico passed a law that's going to legalize a whole variety of drugs in Mexico for recreational use. The law is sitting on President Felipe Calderon's desk to sign, but it would legalize marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, and also heroin, and pretty significant quantities of each. And if you're caught with these quantities, you don't even have to get treatment as mandatory options. You're just simply they're within the law, and if you stay within those limits, there's no consequences in Mexico for having these drugs for recreational use. Now, this is, I think, patently absurd when you take a hard look and you realize that we're putting under this Merida initiative $1.7 billion into Mexico for the military in Mexico to be armed and trained to fight the drug war. And while we're doing that, Mexico's surrendering and they're saying, well, we'll just legalize drugs. And what the end result is going to be is the Mexican drug cartels are going to be in even more control. The Mexican drug cartels kill about 8,000 last 2 years.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Corsi is simply pointing out that the legislation has been passed in Mexico, and you haven't heard about it, of course, but it's going to legalize the recreational use of amphetamines, certainly cocaine, heroin, and other drugs, and so they'll be perfectly legal down there as long as you don't have a large quantity of them, as long as you're not a dealer. And we're putting out about well over $1.5 billion every year. To finance the Mexican military so they can fight the drug war, and the Mexican government, the bill is on the president's desk there in Mexico. Why, of course, if the bill is signed, then all of the drugs will be legalized, and of course, we'll be just giving them money to finance their military to keep the people in line, but not fighting the drug wars. But you pick the story right up there.
Well, it's pretty amazing to me because, you know, if you take a look, Dr. Stan, Mexico cities are going to become like little Amsterdams. They're going to be flooded by drug users who are seeking penalty-free drugs. And I'm sure Americans are going to, especially from border states, California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, American drug users are going to go south. And anybody who's been in Amsterdam can tell you that this is no, legalizing drugs is no solution to the drug problem. You just get a population of drug users. And the cartels and the crime don't go away. The cartel and the crime continue to provide more exotic, more powerful drugs than that you can get legalized, larger quantities. It becomes a criminal environment. And what I think this law means is that Mexico is basically giving up. They're throwing in the towel. They're surrendering. They're saying, we can't beat the drug cartels, so we're going to join them. And as such, Mexico becomes a drug cartel-controlled country. And you remember in the last presidential election, when Obrador and the left ran against Calderon. Calderon won, but there was almost a social revolution in Mexico. Mexico's on the verge of a leftist revolution. You've got now a drug-controlled country where drugs are going to be available. There's no middle class in Mexico. Mexico's social welfare and education policy is go north. The families, the oligarchs who control Mexico are wealthy. They're not going to use their wealth to help Mexico's poor. The drug cartels are going to exploit all the drug users in Mexico and continue to exert power over all the law enforcement. So the Calderon is going to have to kowtow to the drug cartels. And this law legalizing drugs is not going to put the drug cartels out of business. If anything, the drug cartels will have a monopoly over the supply and will continue to be the suppliers at great price to the pharmaceutical companies in Mexico that produce illegal drugs. So this whole situation, I think, Dr. Stan, is really a prelude to the Obama administration's plan is. I've been writing in Red Alert that we're about to see a push in the United States to legalize drugs under President Obama as well.
Well, of course, the thing is that in Mexico, why so many of the people in the military and in the police and in the drug enforcement agencies are all on the payroll of the drug cartels. I mean, this is the incredible thing. And they actually have gone around and targeted the police, saying, you kill one of ours, we'll kill 10 of yours, and they have done it. And not only kill them, but in a very gruesome manner, they'll torture them and then behead them. And here will be a whole pile of police officers killed by the drug cartel, and apparently the government really is quite incapable of dealing with this, or is not trying to deal with it.
And under the Merida initiative, we're going to be putting about $1.7 billion into giving Mexico's military and training and arms, and I can document over the last several years about 150,000 of the Mexican military have defected to the drug cartels. And they take their weapons and equipment with them. Very much like the Zetas who decades ago were trained again by the U.S. government and the Mexican military. They were a paramilitary force. And they defected and have become now largely the enforcement arm for the drug cartels.
And yet, of course, they want to take down all border barriers. They want to unite the United States and Canada and Mexico into the North American Union, and there'd be nothing to keep that from spreading up into our country. That is organized madness.
Well, and again, President Obama has now announced this week that he's going to introduce again the comprehensive immigration reform. So we're going to have another version of this Kennedy McCain bill to get amnesty under the guise of guest worker programs and pathways to citizenship. President Obama is every bit as much a globalist. If you remember, Dr. Stan, during the campaign, Austin Goolsbee, who was an advisor to President Obama, went up to Canada and said, don't worry about President Obama in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. He's saying he's going to renegotiate NAFTA and get U.S. jobs to come back, buy American. And Goolsbee said, oh, this is just he needs to say that it's just a campaign promise. It doesn't mean anything. Well, that got public, and Goolsbee, as you remember, Dr. Stan, was very publicly fired by the Obama campaign. Well, now Goolsbee is back in the White House. In fact, right now he's in Aspen, Colorado, attending a very fancy economic seminar for the White House. Goolsbee is a part of advising the Council on Economic Advisors, and it was really all wink, wink, because Goolsbee's right back hired in the White House, and President Obama's announced that now in the White House he has no intention of renegotiating NAFTA. In fact, he's going to work hand-in-hand with Calderon to put into place an international gun control legislation under the false idea that the guns they're supplying the Mexican cartels come from the U.S. citizens.
Well, they keep telling us that, but I mean, I'm sure that a lot of these guns come from Russia and from China and from all over the world. I mean, certainly they're not getting automatic weapons from people here in the United States because automatic weapons are illegal. And they know that, but they keep saying it over and over again, and you put this on 60 Minutes in 2020, and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Times, and if you repeat something that is dishonest often enough, people will still believe it, because repetition, of course, gives people this idea, well, it must be true because everybody says it's true.
Well, in fact, I've said I'm doing a report on next week's Red Alert, making that very argument. I tracked down where these statements came from. It came from one cache of something like 7,500 weapons, and those weapons did come from the United States, but that's a minuscule number, proportion of the weapons used in Mexico. These drug cartels make billions of dollars. They don't need to be buying semi-automatic weapons, which are illegal in the United States. It's very hard to get. Instead, they can get the drug cartels can get the arms merchants to bring in caches of weapons from communist China, from Russia, even from the United States. But they're directly from the manufacturer. Crates of AK-47s, crates of rocket-propelled grenade launchers. It's not the mom-and-pop operation in the United States buying a gun in a gun shop and somehow smuggling it to Mexico, which is what Obama wants to shut down. It's all a lie. But the whole issue here is we're going to open the borders, we're going to have comprehensive immigration reform. Obama is going to then say, we've got to shut down American guns. Makes no sense at all. And then the Obama administration right now is trying to get their economic socialism put into place, government control. By next year, they'll be on to, I predict, the social agenda, and we'll see a move by the Obama administration to legalize drugs and to get gay rights established. Those will be the next two agendas after we get cap-and-trade legislation, which is a complete hoax, after we get health care, Obama health care, put into place because illegal immigrants don't have health insurance, and after we have complete Obama control of the economy and banks, which is currently underway.
Well, of course, Sydney, when you talk about cap-and-trade, I mean, this is going to raise everybody's electricity bill up, probably $1,500 a year, something like that. I mean, this is a direct tax, on the American people. Even Conyers says that. I mean, one of the sponsors of the bill, this is a big tax. Obama promised he wasn't going to tax us, and of course he's going to tax us. That's what this green energy is all about. It's, of course, driving the cost of electricity up so that we can, of course, keep people from using electricity, lower their living standards, and driving the remaining industries out of this country so we can lower the living standards of the American people. And nobody is telling the American people what's really going on, or there really are people who surround Obama, who want to lower our living standards and, of course, raise the living standards in other countries. Why doesn't anybody ever say this sort of thing in the major media?
Well, it's again, Dr. Sam, when I wrote The Obama Nation, that was my book, which was a bestseller for a month, New York Times bestseller, and I argued that Obama was far leftist politician, a cult of personality, that he'd been trained by Saul Alinsky, who was a radical in the 60s, wanted radical redistribution of wealth along a socialist or communist model.
And who dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to the first radical, Lucifer. I mean, I've got a copy of it. It's right there. Anybody wants to see it? He dedicated his book to Lucifer, and, of course, one of Saul Alinsky's disciples is in the White House today. And where is the outcry from the Christian church? Go right ahead, Jerome.
Well, and on this cap and trade, I'm writing an article on Red Alert for next week on the controversy over the suppressed Environmental Protection Agency report, which challenges the science behind cap and trade.
In fact, it basically says that if we're actually moving into global cooling, but you're not going to hear about that on CBS, ABC, NBC, or the rest of the controlled media. How can we get a copy of that suppressed report? Is that available someplace?
It's available, and I'm referencing it in my Red Alert. Just go to redalert.wnd for WorldNet Daily, redalert.wnd.com.
And because this was put out by an EPA staff that was supposed to look into this?
The staff report will... And I give you the link so you can get the report down directly.
All right, fine. That's a beautiful thing about Jerome. He verifies everything he says. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. You go right ahead with the story.
Well, this Environmental Protection Agency report was written by Alan Carlin, who is a physicist and an economist. And he wrote a 98-page report documenting that over the last 11 years, the trend in global temperatures is actually to be cooling, not warming up, as the global warming hysterics predicted. And Carlin put this report forward. He said, we've got to look at the science behind cap and trade, that the carbon emissions are leading global warming isn't true. He said, we've got more carbon in the atmosphere, but it's not causing the Earth to cool or to warm up, like predicted. Now, his supervisors at the Environmental Protection Agency said that he was not to distribute this report. They've decided that the policy decisions had already been reached. I've got two, March 2009 memos to Carlin from his supervisor, a guy in the EPA named McGartland. And McGartland just basically told Carlin to sit in the corner and shut up. Now, Carlin managed to get this report public, and increasingly, senators like Senator Inhofe is demanding hearings because this is a major cover-up and a major lie. And what the Environmental Protection Agency and the Obama administration are doing is they're relying on a UN intergovernmental panel on climate change that was organized by the UN. And their predictions, which have not come true, very much like Al Gore's predictions, that we would be suffering much warmer weather, that the oceans would be rising, all these computer models that predicted these dire global climate catastrophes, which have not occurred. And despite that, Barack Obama is going to advance this junk science and say we need cap and trade. Now, cap and trade essentially is a tax. It imposes a penalty on any corporation like those electric companies, utilities that use coal to generate electricity. They emit carbon dioxide. So because they can't cap the amount of carbon dioxide, they're going to have to pay a tax on that or trade and buy a permit from somebody who's not emitting as much carbon dioxide. And the whole thing becomes a scheme. And it's all predicated on that if we reduce carbon dioxide, we're going to cool the planet up. Well, the Earth is cooling up anyway. I mean, it's kind of like somebody ought to do a bulletin to President Obama, you know, bulletin flash news, Earth heated by sun. I think the scientific evidence is much clearer that sunspot activity correlates more directly with the warming and cooling on the Earth. And if you look back geologically over a millennium, long before there were any human beings on the Earth, we've had ice ages come and go that are related to causes we don't fully understand, but certainly not the human production of carbon dioxide. This whole thing is a leftist political agenda whose goal is anti-capitalist, anti-free enterprise, and they want to punish the United States for our industrial success, what's left of it. And the irony is the cap and trade, if it goes into effect, is only going to be a huge middle-class tax. Everybody's electrical bills are going to go up. Jobs are going to be destroyed. Those few manufacturing companies that are left in the United States are going to go to China or some other country.
Hold that thought. We'll be back. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dr. Corsi is talking about cap and trade. First of all, it is a massive tax on the middle class. Well, really, it'll be on everybody's home because everybody who uses electricity is going to have to pay this marked increase in their electricity bill. It is basically aimed at destroying the production in this country. It will drive our factories out of America because every factory in one way or another is dependent upon power, electricity, and of course you raise the price outlandishly, they're going to go someplace else where they can get cheap electricity. Now, people don't understand that the legislation is not going to cover China. China's not going to have to cut back on pollution. They're the biggest polluters in the world. India is not going to have to cut back on pollution. This is aimed at the United States and destroying our infrastructure, but they're not going to tell us that. And the most incredible thing is that if a company needs to produce carbon and carbon dioxide, they can buy then the rights to produce this from some other country, from a company in another country or from another nation, so they can continue to pollute. All they have to do is give a lot of money. Basically, it's the transfer of America's wealth to other nations. Now, it is very simply an effort to destroy the industrial potential of this country because a nation manufacturing, if it's going to survive at all, is just going to have to charge higher and higher prices because now we've not only got to pay for the higher price of electricity, we've got to pay for these carbon transfer taxes or whatever you want to call them, the permission to pollute. And so that's going to be passed on. What they're going to do is raise prices up here, lower living standards, but they can't tell the American people what they're up to, can they, Jerome?
No, and this particular cap and trade tax is one of the most regressive because, for instance, if you've got an electric bill, you're going to have the same increase whether you're wealthy or poor. If you get electricity, the cap and trade cost is going to be passed on to you. So President Obama said he was not going to have any middle-class tax increase. Well, through the back door, this cap and trade is the biggest middle-class tax increase ever.
And he knew what he was saying. He was simply lying to the American people. Oh, we're only going to tax the very rich, those making over $250,000, and they can afford to pay it. But we're not going to tax the middle class and the lower class. And he was simply lying. He knew he was lying, but of course he was not going to tell the truth.
So on this junk science, the carbon dioxide is causing the Earth to warm up, which, look at the winters we've had in the summer. We're having this, right now. Throughout the United States, it's been very cold in the last couple of years. There's no evidence of global warming. But, of course, the global warming hysterics, see, because it's getting cold, that proves global warming. Because now they want to argue it's climate change that they're after, not just global warming, but climate change and climate catastrophe.
Isn't that amazing how they've gone from global warming to climate change? It is changing. It's getting colder.
Right. In the 70s, the great hysteria was global cooling. Now it's global warming. It's always been a leftist agenda that is anti-industrial, anti-people, and anti-capitalist or free enterprise. That's what this is at its core. And the Obama administration rulings, I said they would in the Obama Nation, the book I wrote, from the extreme ideological far left, is going to push this legislation very hard and attempt to get it through the Senate. Where people have got to oppose this legislation is in the Senate. And it's shaping up right now. You've got senators like Senator Inhofe, who are going to lead the charge against this junk science. And Senator Inhofe needs the supporters. We're going to have to launch some major telephone campaigns when this legislation is pushed, because Obama is going to do everything he can in order to try to say, I succeeded on cap and trade. And if this once gets in, it's going to be not only a huge tax on industrial activity in the United States and on energy, but it may be a crippling blow to the economic strength of the United States long term.
But, of course, it's not just Obama. I mean, there's a powerful force, powerful organizations of the wealthy globalists are really, of course, pulling Obama's strings. He's really going along with this thing. Certainly, he's the target that we talk about. but he represents people who have a different agenda because, of course, they really don't support America. Their dedication to this idea of a one-world government. And the globalists want to destroy America, to impoverish our people, because we are the one people in the world, if we were to stand up to this, could block the destruction of national sovereignty and preserve the sovereignty of our nation and of nations throughout the world. But there really are powerful people who surround Barack Obama, who put him in power, who provided the $600 to $700 million that he had to get elected, who, of course, have a different loyalty. Because I believe they worship a different God. We're going to be back here with Dr. Jerome Corsi in just a moment as we continue to explore what's really going on today. You're not going to hear about elsewhere. These things seems are moving very, very fast, and now, of course, with Al Franken in the United States Senate, and Senator, was it Schumer who moved over? The other fellow who moved over from the Republican Party to the Democrat Party.
Arlen Specter.
Arlen Specter, right, the man who created the magic bullet for the Kennedy assassination, right, and was rewarded by getting to be made a United States Senator. Now, of course, apparently they have a filibuster-proof Senate. Is there any way we're going to be able to block these disasters from taking place?
No, and one of the things I'd just like to footnote is that one of the reasons that Al Franken won is because Acorn worked to make sure they have an Acorn leftist-backed Secretary of State in Minnesota. And the entire recount and the entire stacking of votes was stacked against Norm Coleman, Republican candidate from the beginning. But at any rate, now I think we can hold the Obama administration responsible because they've got a filibuster-proof Democratic majority in the Senate, and the Democrats need to bear responsibility now for all the disasters I think the economy is going to continue to go through. I've just written again some pieces in my Red Alert newsletter. The recession is really destroying now California. The budget crisis has reduced California to one of the worst states in the union. California, which has had the world's eighth largest economy, is now on the verge of bankruptcy. And Moody's and Standard & Poor's have both downgraded the state so that it costs a lot more money for the state to issue bonds, which are just now about junk bond status. So California is facing a $24 billion budget deficit, and the government just this week started issuing IOUs. They can't pay back tax refunds. They're giving IOUs. And these IOUs, the earliest they'll be able to be cashed in is October. And California is going through now a whole series of, they had a tax revolt. Governor Schwarzenegger wanted there to be some ballot measures in the May special election for increased taxes. The voters rejected them all. So California, which was one of the historically the best states to live in.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Corsi is talking about what's happening in California. And California, with the eighth largest economy in the world, is that they are in real trouble. Apparently, Moody's, Standard & Poor's have downgraded the bonds that we would sell to junk status, which means we're going to have to put out a lot more money to borrow money. But we already owe over $60 billion, and where are we going to get the money to make the payments on the bonds and to pay the interest on the bonds? And of course, now we find, of course, more and more people are losing their jobs. We have almost 11.5% unemployment that they will admit to. And certainly we have some of the highest rates of home foreclosures anywhere in the nation. And, of course, We cannot pay our bills. The Secretary of State, apparently as of today, is going to start issuing IOUs, but you want a state IOU from a state that doesn't have any money, and how do you know you're ever going to get paid back? And certainly they can't get any money from the federal government. The governor will not let them borrow. They're going to have to make cuts. They don't want to make cuts. What's going to happen, Dr. Corsi?
Well, here's the cuts that I think Governor Schwarzenegger is going to be forced to make. First of all, they're going to have to cut dramatically on the public education school system. It's going to end up being now near the bottom in funding and academic achievement.
Well, we've already been near the bottom in academic achievement, so why should we be surprised, you know, that and certainly it's not the small class size that gives you quality. We have terrible education in America. Maybe what we ought to do is get rid of a lot of the administrators and a lot of the teachers and get back to just sound education. Our kids know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, for certain.
Well, Dr. Sand, I'd be happy to close the entire public school system throughout the United States.
Our kids would get a lot better education if we did. Before we go on, and certainly I want to get back to California, but before I forget, I want you to get out your website. I want you to tell our listeners how they can read your articles and how they can get your books. We do carry a couple of them, but we don't carry Abomination, which is a very important book.
Abomination, which was my last book on the far leftist politics and cult of personality of President Obama. I think it's still extremely accurate in explaining why we're getting these leftist socialist policies. Saul Alinsky Education, Obama's communist mentors, I've laid it all out. The book before that was The Late Great USA, the coming merger with Mexico and Canada, which I continue to write about, and I think it's an agenda we're going to see again.
And we do carry that book. We think it's very important.
And then I'm a senior staff reporter for WorldNet Daily. My Red Alert newsletter, redalert.wnd for WorldNet Daily, redalert.wnd.com. I write it every week, and it costs under $100 for the year.
All right.
A couple more books coming up in October. I have a book which I've finished already called America for Sale, and it's going to be again about the economic crisis, the threat to U.S. sovereignty. It'll be published by Simon & Schuster in October.
Well, now let's talk a little bit more about California, because certainly, you know, that we see certainly in my community, the local government, the city government, the state, the county government, are having to cut back dramatically on their personnel and lay a lot of people off. Certainly, the state is talking about simply not giving the local communities their gas tax because the state needs it, and there just isn't enough money. The state can perhaps solve some of their problems by stealing money from the local communities, but then what's going to happen to the local communities? And of course, instead of talking about closing down their planning department and all the unnecessary things, they say, well, we're going to have to, do away with the police and the fire department, let the fires burn. And they're trying to scare everybody, and yet it doesn't accomplish anything because there's no money there. And what they ought to do is get rid of a lot of the administration and these massive, of course, pension funds. Some of these people are getting $250,000 a year in their retirement. I sure wish I could get a retirement like that. Go ahead.
Well, and I want to get to the cuts they're going to make, but the one thing that California is not going to cut is any benefits for illegal immigrants. There's nothing on the list I can see to cut any of the education in Spanish for illegal immigrants, the health care in the hospitals, the emergency rooms for primary care, illegal immigrants will still be able to get that.
Some people say that's almost $10 billion a year that California alone puts out for caring for illegal immigrants. No, we wouldn't want to do anything to cut back on that, would we?
No, because what California is going to do in the public education system, they're going to lay off thousands of teachers, expand class sizes, close schools, eliminate bus service, cancel summer school programs, probably shorten the academic year. California is talking about releasing thousands of prisoners early from the state prisons. That ought to be tremendous on, a negative on California's safety and future crime record. Closing more than 200 state parks, which again is counterproductive. In areas like Lake Tahoe, which gets something like $9.5 million to the local community in tourism, they're going to close the state parks, which is the Lake Tahoe Chamber of Commerce is directly against. The park layoffs are going to be detrimental to the entire tourism in the state of California. But they're not going to touch pensions for California workers. They're not going to touch, they may have to cut back welfare. They may have to close welfare altogether. But again, they're not going to touch illegal immigrants. There's no provisions in the cuts Governor Schwarzenegger's making, not one single mention of illegal immigrants. California is going to continue to have an open border, going to continue to be welcome to illegal immigrants. And what this mix does is that it throws an enormous number of people out of the state. People in California who are losing jobs, or the people who have money in California and don't want to be taxed to the hilt, people who want to run businesses but don't want to pay the taxes, are looking to states like Montana and North Dakota. They're looking at alternatives to relocate where they don't have this horrendous budget deficit and social welfare costs that California's burdened itself with. California is bankrupt.
And not only that, of course, people are not hearing about it, but there were massive demonstrations within this last week by the farmers from the Central Valley there, because they've cut off their water. They want to protect the fishies, and the fishies are suffering, so we're going to cut off the water to the farmers. And we're telling them, of course, all you farmers have to do is just conserve water, and then you won't have to worry about it. We're going to just destroy the farming crop in California in this coming year, and they know exactly what they're doing. And the farmers were demonstrating in Sacramento this last week, and not a word in the controlled media. I wonder why.
Well, I've done studies and looked at the numbers, and I'm estimating that the education and health costs for legal immigrants constitute somewhere between about 15 to 20% of California's total budget deficit. Illegal immigrants. And so California is saying, well, let's sell high property value property like the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum or San Quentin Prison. Well, these are one-time deals. They won't solve the long-term and continuing crisis. And what California is facing is, with this high-tax environment, with these generous social welfare benefits, including to illegal immigrants, California can't possibly get the tax revenue needed. California should be cutting taxes and creating a business environment where businesses want to relocate in California, cutting social welfare benefits, cutting pension benefits, getting the budget into order so that on a lower tax basis, California can generate a higher amount of tax revenue through encouraging business activity, especially small businesses that create jobs. But California is not going to do that. California wanted to raise taxes. It was a tax revolt, and now Governor Schwarzenegger has no choice except to gut the state. And I did an analysis of the population on welfare. I mean, it's really, California's got the largest population in the country on welfare. California's got 12, California with 12% of the nation's population has a disproportionate 32% of the nation's welfare recipients. 12% of the population, 32% of the welfare recipients. So if California wants to be generous in these welfare benefits and continue this kind of a program, California is going to be bankrupt and businesses are going to leave left and right.
Well, it's a pretty grim outlook, and certainly the people here in California have to understand that they're going to start, you know, having to close down the prisons. They're talking, actually, we've got so many prisoners here because of their corrupt court system. They're actually even talking about transferring prisoners to places like Michigan. Michigan is certainly looking for any sort of an industry. Prison industry is a pretty good industry there. But then, and it'll be a lot cheaper. Of course, Schwarzenegger's been talking about, why don't we simply privatize our prisons that operate for half the cost? And, of course, he talks things like that. Anything that takes money away from any one group, they're going to be upset about that. Because everybody, of course, we're all idealists, except, of course, when our ox gets gored. And then you'll see the people up there. We see them in Sacramento. The older women, you know, and their wheelchairs and the walkers, running up and down the halls just screaming, you're taking it away from me. I'm an American. You don't have the right to take away my benefits. But, of course, unfortunately, why we've run out of money, and of course I don't see any way that they're going to be able to survive if they don't start dramatically cutting benefits, and I believe we are all going to suffer in this.
Well, California is the classic case of the failure of the liberal socialist welfare state, and the liberals that voted this in are going to be the first to leave the state. Leave the state in a poverty mess with illegal immigrants and welfare recipients, a large uneducated population, and the educated elite and business leaders are going to flee the state. So California is going to be the first, I think, basket case, tragic indication of what happens when a state out of control increases taxes in order to generate these welfare, social welfare benefits that ultimately nobody can afford. And as the tax base leaves the state of California, both with the recession and the flight away from the high taxes, California is going to be bankrupt. And it's going to become a very unpleasant place to live, with reduced police on the highway, reduced fire, less safe environment, gangs, including a lot of gangs from El Salvador, MS-13, from Mexico, drugs, the drug environment. It's going to be a very ugly place to live without the generous social welfare benefits from the state.
Well, you know, Chris, the grocery stores are seeing so many people now trying to pass invalid checks. In other words, checks when they don't have any money in their savings account or their banking account. We're seeing an increased tempo of violence. People, and people stealing things because, of course, they don't have any money. And I think this is only going to get worse. I think this is what happens to a nation that establishes a society where all you have to do is simply vote yourself into public benefits. But eventually, what happens when you run out of money? And that's what's happened. We've run out of money in California. And I think California is sort of a prototype of what's going to happen all across America in the years that lie ahead.
It's the first case. California's always led the nation in various ways. It's led the nation in social welfare programs. Now, California and the country should be taking a look at what happens when social welfare programs get, and liberalism, socialism, gets out of control. Socialism inevitably collapses, and this is the first indication of socialism collapsing in the United States is California.
But, of course, if President Obama goes through with his plans, I mean, his health care program is going to cost $1 trillion. He's going to deny it, but, of course, he is not telling us the truth. He said we weren't going to give us any taxes, and the cap and trade is a massive tax on the middle class and the lower class in this country. And, of course, if he gets through his all of the other programs that he has, they're simply going to bankrupt the national government as well. In fact, other countries are saying, we don't necessarily want to keep buying America's bonds. We're talking about a $1.8 trillion deficit for the year that ends the 30th of September of this year. And that may be a very conservative estimate of the deficit we're going to have this year.
Well, California is just the example of where the United States itself is headed. We'll head as a nation in the same direction. Socialism doesn't work, as Margaret Thatcher said. Eventually you run out of other people's money to spend.
I love that term.
So true. And that's what's happening in California, and it's what's going to happen across the United States.
I think the Chinese are really tired about financing our high standards of living while, of course, their people have to work to produce the products that we've been consuming, and then, of course, but we buy, of course, a lot of this with their money.
And globalism doesn't work for the same reason. It just pushes everything to the lowest common denominator, the lowest cost of labor, which means to the American worker that the multinational corporations say, I can find a slave who will do your job cheaper than you. And no law or moral restraint is going to prevent me from going to hire that person.
And well, of course, we're even not only no law, we're actually subsidizing General Motors, which has plants that are operating in China, Russia, Brazil, and India. General Motors talks about how they're going to begin importing foreign cars to sell on to their dealers. They don't mention these are foreign cars that are made in General Motors plants in China and in India. in Russia and Brazil and so-called BRIC nations. But nobody's telling the American people that we're giving General Motors a great deal of money so that they can shut down plants here in the United States and expand their certainly production network throughout the rest of the world. I think a lot of Americans might be very unhappy if they were to find out what was really going on and how we're subsidizing the companies that are moving their manufacturing offshore.
Well, and Dr. Sand, I just wrote an article also for next week's Red Alert. I want to alert people that the Trans-Texas Corridor is still alive and well. Texas is now in a special session of their legislature, and Governor Perry is trying to authorize the Department of Transportation in Texas to be able to have these comprehensive development authority agreements, like, for instance, getting Cintra, Spanish company that's going to develop I-35 parallel. It was called Trans-Texas Corridor. They just changed the name. They continue to advance the plan. Texas wants more comprehensive development authorities to create toll roads from freeways in Texas through the year 2013. And this special legislature, I even went to the Texas Department of Transportation website, and they're still bragging about Interstate 69 and Trans-Texas Corridor 35. There's been no indication that the contract with Cintra has been canceled. And so I think, again, a stealth methodology, public relations, Governor Perry said, we wanted the Trans-Texas Corridor anymore, but every time you look, the projects are still in effect under a different name.
And because one thing is they know the American people don't want to give up our sovereignty, so they simply change the name, but the whole idea is to do away with our sovereignty, to merge us with Mexico so we can have the same high living standards that they have in Mexico and the same state of law and order. And a few wealthy billionaires who run the country and then everybody else pretty much impoverished. I think they used to call it something like feudalism. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi, you really want to go to his website and get his information. Well, Jerry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Sand, I think the things we talked about in this show indicate that it is the globalists. We're seeing an attack now from the left under the Obama administration on American sovereignty. The left wanting to create a worldwide proletariat, wanting to have these social welfare benefits we can't afford, deficit spending, government control. I mean, we had globalism from the right under President Bush, which is where the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller, said, my corporations are in 50 countries. I don't need your currency. I don't need the dollar. I don't need U.S. regulations. I want there to be a North American Union and a European Union and a world market. So I think that from both sides, we've got to go back to protecting the American job, the American worker, and American sovereignty. And that's, I think, a theme that I continue to write about. It was the theme of my late great USA, coming merger with Mexico and Canada. I've just finished a new book, which will be out in October, called America for Sale. And again, I'm very much on the same theme, that we've got to preserve, protect, and defend the United States of America, not the North American Union, and not some idea of a social welfare state under President Obama that we can't afford. I mean, America for Sale right now is up on Amazon.com. You can see it in its pre-sale. And I just want to read you its the subtitle, Dr. Sand. It's America for Sale, Fighting the New World Order, Surviving a Global Depression, and Preserving USA Sovereignty. That's what the book is about. I think those are the themes we've talked about in the show.
Well, I think that people have to understand that America is under attack today, and we're not under attack from some guy living in a cave in Pakistan. We're not under attack from somebody sitting at a desk in Moscow or in Beijing. We're under attack from people in this country who have a different vision of America, indeed have a different vision of the world, and certainly one of the people who articulates this so very, very well is Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's been our guest today, and so we certainly commend you, and certainly will, when that book comes out, we'll be glad to carry it, and I hope we get you on again to discuss that book before it comes out in October. I think these themes are so vitally important. People have to understand we are under attack today, but not from without, but from within.
Dr. Stan, a great honor and pleasure to be with you again.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Jerry. Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we do hope you enjoyed his program. We always enjoy having him here at Radio Liberty, and he certainly crystallizes the issues that are before us today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and certainly I hope you enjoyed our interviews with Dr. Corsi. We actually carry his book, The Late Great USA. We think it's an important book. It goes into this whole idea, of course, of doing away with our national sovereignty and going into this one world government. Of course, we start out with the North American Union, and then we bring the same level of prosperity to America that they have for the Mexican peasant. We raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. We, of course, in Mexico, they have more billionaires than they have in all of the rest of South America put together. And we install that government. We're keeping them there. We're providing money for their military so they can keep the people suppressed, so there's no hope for freedom there in Mexico because we are financing the military dictatorship. Oh, they have elections, but they're phony elections, as phony as a $3 bill. And we've made sure that there would be no opportunity for freedom by the people there in Mexico. And you must understand that there really are people in charge of America who have a different worldview. Who are they? Well, we have a great new DVD. You need to get it. It's called The Trilateral Commission. It's the talk that Patrick Wood gave at our October 20th conference last year. And, of course, now we have the DVD with his PowerPoint presentation. We think it's a very excellent addition to our armamentarium to understand what's really going on and the fact that between 1976 and the year 2008, every president of the United States and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, this is the organization put together by David Rockefeller and his nephew. His nephew, Stephen Rockefeller, wrote the Earth Charter, which we'll be glad to send you if you get anything else from us, or pull it down off the Internet, read point 10A, which calls for equitable distribution of wealth within nations. That's communism, except for the very wealthy elite. Well, they will maintain their wealth. But equitable distribution of wealth between nations. That's how we're going to transfer our wealth and our jobs and our manufacturing to other countries. You need to hear my talk on the financial Armageddon and get the syllabus that goes with it. That's the financial Armageddon and the syllabus. You need to get the trilogy on the secret mysteries of America's beginning. They're three separate DVDs. You can get them together at a reduced cost or get them separately, but we recommend them to you. You need to understand what's really going on, and you're never going to learn it from the controlled media. Then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on the forbidden secret, because you can't understand anything going on today unless you can understand the spiritual forces which are working behind the scenes. That's the forbidden secret, and, of course, there's a syllabus that goes with that. And there you can, of course, read the documentation of what we're talking about. That's the forbidden secret. So our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't, of course, got yourself a Berkey water filter, so if there was a problem, you'd at least be able to have potable water. Why, of course, we carry those. We also carry the health products, the various things you would need if we had an influenza to build up your immune system. And certainly, my wife and I take large doses of vitamin D3, 5,000 units every 4 hours, and antibiotic, which is a combination of oil of oregano and garlic and oil of elderberry and a couple of other things. Take a couple of those every few hours, you know, if you're coming down with the flu. We need people to begin making preparations. They really do create diseases and disseminating them. Recently, Baxter, and you can check it on the Internet, just accidentally put, into millions of doses of influenza vaccine the live, deadly avian flu virus. How could they do that? Well, they don't know how it happened, but all shucks, it was just a mistake. And Millions of people would have died if they hadn't discovered it. They did the same thing with the Marburg disease. If you don't know the story of Marburg, you need to get the book Emerging Viruses. That was a far more deadly bacterium that they put into vaccines, that they plan to. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The book that will tell you the true story there is Emerging Viruses. Our website, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.